Coming up on this episode of the FitCast, I got Amanda Wheeler from Mark Fisher Fitness and Formation Strength on the show. We are talking about programming at MFF, systems for large group training, progressing at push-ups, also a very interesting topic, what to do with athletes once they're done with competition. Awesome, awesome subject. That and so much more is coming up right now on the FitCast. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and on the show for the very first time, I feel like we've been trying to connect for a while to do this. And I'm, you know, at this point, like I just talked to Michael Keeler yesterday. I had Mark on a couple weeks ago. I've been talking with those bozos, Jeff and Harold, to talk about the movement lab that's coming up. But I'm like, screw those guys. I want to talk to Amanda Wheeler. Now she's on. Amanda, how are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We're talking off air. There's a little bit of a gym emergency as we're recording this, but hopefully I'm going to try to stay positive. Everything will be okay. And that's it. I'm going to try to stay positive. That's false positivity in my voice, if you can hear it.
We've had when we went through our experience opening Bowery, there was a lot of false positivity. So you're going to be good.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things I want to talk with you about today. Like originally I wanted to talk a lot about programming stuff, and we'll definitely get into that because you've been doing a lot of great things at MFF in that realm. But the first thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, as we're recording this, you had a really great post that went up on formationstrength.com, which, Alyssa, actually talk about that a little bit first with formationstrength.com. You and Lori Lindsay teamed up for that. That's awesome. Lori's the best.
Yeah, Lori is the best. Yeah, we teamed up. We were actually both, we met through Todd Bumgarner. We were
awesome.
Both mentors in his strength coaches group, Strength Faction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never met her before, but when we connected and I wanted to do a woman's program, I was like, Lori and I are very similar and just like, we just like to get after it. Obviously, she's like an elite, like professional athlete, which I am not. But we just kind of have the same mentality, the same kind of like demeanor. And I was like, she is a badass chick and somebody I would absolutely want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we teamed up and started getting after this women's thing.
Well, I mean, Lori, she, I think I first had her on the show like maybe three years ago now, but that's just like one of the best stories in the industry. Like Lori, obviously having an incredible career in professional soccer, you know, U.S. women's Olympic teams and world teams, and now getting into the strength and conditioning world. And she has, you know, also access to just getting the word out so well to other, you know, female athletes and just other professional athletes in general, because now she's seen both sides of the world. So have you guys been working on anything like that as well? Like how to, you know, kind of get the word out, because there is still, you know, it's a big world and it's still hard to get like really good strength and conditioning information to some of the, you know, professional levels out there. And even just, you know, before that in high school and college.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was one of the things we originally talked about with her specifically, because I played sports through school until I had an injury. And
what
it was
happened?
Kind of like I tore my ACL and meniscus playing basketball. Oof. Like my senior year of high school.
Oh, it's the worst.
And that, totally a bummer, right? But that's how I got into strength training. And I started I took an independent study gym class as a senior in high school, a freshman gym class. But the football players would come in and I'd lift weights with them.
That's right.
Kind of like as rehab. And I was like, this is awesome. Like if I can't play sports, like this is, I like to do this. But we started talking about like post sport, like what do you do as an athlete, right? It's like if you're used
right.
to that team environment, if your workouts are getting programmed for you and you're basically like showing up and doing what the coach says, like a lot of people either like stop working out. Cause we know like a lot of like college players, like I've had ones I'm close to, like they stop playing sports and then they just like don't do anything and gain a bunch of weight.
Right.
Or it's like they get into like marathon running or go like full out like CrossFit style training, which is great. And it's like, there's gotta be a happy medium of like, how can you still train smart and like take care of your body when you're not on a team and you like don't know what to do anymore if you're playing. So that's kind of what we started talking about, like, can we create something for women that have maybe played sports or they're a part of something from before and they're not now, and they're looking for that either community or accountability or even structure of a program.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating topic because it is a case where, you know, you get to a certain level and it's all about preparation for the competition. Like that's where a lot of the, you know, the strength and conditioning portion plays into what you're doing. But then once you don't have a game next week or you don't have, you know, the next season, it becomes a little bit directionless in terms of, all right, well, what are my goals? Like, I'm not really getting ready to, you know, have the best year of my career. I'm not trying to get one more, you know, $1 million contract for playing my sport. It's it's more of a case, well, I don't know what to do. So what have you guys thought of in terms of like, all right, what solutions do we have? Is it, you mentioned CrossFit. I think that is, this is something, I apologize for talking a lot for a second, but this is something I talked with Mike Boyle about a couple of weeks ago, where he's seen a lot of his former athletes, his former hockey players, like at high levels, like they go into CrossFit because it is kind of like a competition. Is that team-like atmosphere? Has that been what you guys have found too? And have you found better solutions than, you know, not that CrossFit is bad, but you know, bad coaching could lead to issues.
Absolutely. I mean, I have an extremely interesting relationship with CrossFit because the first gym I opened was a CrossFit facility in 2007. And this was like kind of pre, like CrossFit was mainstream. You know, we had been lifting for a couple of years and we were looking for something different. We kind of stumbled upon it. We're like, okay, this is cool. It's like a little bit higher intensity. I think CrossFit opened up a door for women's strength training that nothing else has before. So I think there are a lot of really great things that came out of CrossFit. And I think like the competitive aspect, I think they've crushed like community. I think they were truly one of the pioneers where it's like you can open up a space and you can have this built-in community and accountability of people that are your friends that you want to go work out with. And that being said, like I think they've done a lot of really great things, but I do agree like anyone can kind of open up a CrossFit facility. You go to a weekend certification and then all of a sudden you're a gym owner with no coaching experience and you're telling people how to do a barbell snatch where it's like, that's not great.
The barrier to entry is, I think, has always been the big problem with quality of CrossFit facilities, because it's not like it's not just like having a random personal trainer certification of working at a random gym. Like CrossFit is kind of like a brand, and you should have certain expectations across the board of what the quality should be. But, you know, if there's anything that, you know, I've seen, and again, there's, you know, you can go to like Kelly Surratt's place in California and be like, this is the best coached gym I've ever been to. Everything looks incredible. No one's doing things that, you know, are going to make me cringe or that could possibly get them hurt. Everyone is being attended to, and you're not seeing people that are about to like have a bar drop on their neck, you know, on their 800th snatch. So like that's hopefully that's something that they will continue to course correct. But I think in some part it becomes a money game where they're just trying to expand as much as possible. And that's usually not the best long-term course of action.
Right. For sure. No, totally. There are like so many CrossFit facilities open all over the world. But it is, you can't monitor the level of training or what's happening in each facility. And I think another thing with CrossFit too, that at least Lori and I have talked a ton about, is it's kind of like going and kill yourself every day, right? It's like you're pushing yourself to the max every single day. And for, you know, most of the population, it's just unnecessary and not super safe, not going to feel good after a while, where it's like you can get after it definitely sometimes, but then take care of your tissues and like honor your bodies as you're going through your weeks of training. So, that's definitely been something that we've talked about.
Yeah. I want to keep like an eye on, you know, what I don't even know if they put these statistics out or how you would get them, but like the ratio of, you know, CrossFit gyms opening to CrossFit gyms closing, because one near me closed a couple months ago, and their space has been open for rent for months now, because no one wants to fill it up because they basically, you know, turned it into a CrossFit gym, and you kind of need to be opening a CrossFit, or I guess a gym. You can always modify the setup a little bit, but it's not for me. So
for sure.
Aside from that, maybe we'll go back to the post that you made. I think it was up on yesterday, titled "My Beef with the Women's Fitness Industry," and this was. Yeah. this was so interesting that this came up because I was just at Tony Gentilcore and Dean Somerset's workshop over this past weekend while we're recording this. And this was actually kind of something that came up when I talked to some, because I went out to dinner with some folks. I'm not going to talk about who it was and any of that stuff because I don't want to be, you know, doing that. So
sure.
I like to, whenever I get to like go out to these dinners with folks afterwards that are going to doing continuing education is, you know, I want to get a gauge of like, all right, well, especially to the women, like, what are you guys interested in right now? Like, what are you looking for continuing education and what, like, who are you looking up to in this industry? And, you know, I think they had some very similar feelings to what you did in this post, kind of seeing these two extremes. And, you know, I'm doing a bad job as a host. Why don't you talk a little bit about what the article was about and kind of what spawned it?
Sure. So the article is about just like big things that kind of get talked about amongst fitness influencers that I just kind of don't relate to at all. So one of them was like cellulite pictures on the internet and the body positive movement, which I can totally get behind, right? It's not that movement. I think the movement is fantastic. It's the way that we go about it sometimes that seems like, is this a step in the right direction? Or now that we're here, are we kind of taking a step back? Because I think with that specifically, it's been incredible to see women posting pictures of their body and their cellulite and saying that they accept it and this is who they are and they love their bodies as is, which I think everybody should. But I think talking about it all the time isn't necessarily normalizing it. So I think I think to make something normal, it's like normalizing is being without acknowledging. Does that make sense? So it's it would be like if I, like I'm gay. And if every time I took a picture with my girlfriend, I was like, I'm gay and I really love myself and I'm totally happy with myself and I'm happy with my girlfriend.
Right.
And that's what I did every time where it's like, if I just take a picture of me and my girlfriend and I put it up, people are like, oh, she's happy. And she like happens to be gay. You know what I mean? It's like, I think if more people just posted pictures of them doing things and they might have cellulite or they might have a little belly or not, but they're not acknowledging it. They're just living. That starts to normalize it more than pointing it out every time we post.
That's super fascinating because again, I think this is, I mean, I think we have in the discussion on like social media, not just like in our industry of like fitness, but it is, especially on like Instagram or on Facebook, I think a lot of folks out there feel the pressure to not only post a picture, but also to say something with that picture and also to like have a message that goes along with it. But maybe that isn't really the best way to get the message that you have out there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, I mean, look, I think it's worked for sure. And I think it has, you know, helped women a ton, right? To see like, oh my gosh, these fitness influencers or athletes that I look up to so much, like they're just normal. They have cellulite. I have cellulite. Like maybe they, you know, have a belly and I do too. And like it, there is something where I think people do feel connected. But it's like, how long do we point it out until it's just like, nope, we're just all humans. We have different bodies. We have cellulites. And if we just love, if we love ourselves and we just are, I just think that will make it way more normal than having to like talk about it every time. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is this something that you also think about when it comes to looking at, you know, people to look up to in this industry and like continuing education and stuff like that? Because I think like you mentioned these kind of two extremes, like, you know, women that are like maybe, and please correct me if I'm not explaining this right, but like women that are into like one extreme of like powerlifting and like doing like badass stuff. And then, you know, on the other side of like, you know, more like feminine and like, I think you mentioned like pink dumbbells or something that, or just like the color pink or something like that is associated with that, where like you kind of wish there were more messages and women in the industry kind of like talking more to the middle.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it is like, there's definitely like a lot of like pink and pink women and femininity, which is also, again, that like, I think that is important and needed and fantastic. And like people, there are women that can absolutely relate to that. And like, that's their people and that's how they get information. And like, that's their home. But I think there's just this whole range of like middle, like this gray area of like your typical woman who has maybe like played sports or maybe, you know, just doesn't like maybe like that like extreme level of like, I don't even want to say femininity because it's not what it is. It's just like this like pink fitness. Like maybe it's just not their jam. Like I think, you know, the challenging part and for me personally is there's great information that comes out. And I find myself also like leaning toward getting information from a lot of men because it's only, cause it's like just about fitness. Right. And I know like in that article, like I referenced Tony Gentilcore, where I'm like, Tony probably doesn't pick out his outfit to post a video of deadlifting on Instagram. Right. He just like does the thing. And I can just go get information without it being about a bunch of other stuff too, without it being,
I can't remember if you mentioned this in the piece or if it was part of that discussion that I had after their event over the past weekend, but I think the subject came up of, you know, men are when, and this is a generality and I don't mean to generalize, but just for the sake of conversation, you know, men, when they're posting stuff, male personal trainers, strength coaches, whatever in this field, whenever they post stuff, it's just information. Like, it's just like, here's some useful information. And, you know, women do that a lot too, but you know, sometimes women are also more talking about, you know, feelings, talking about, you know, body positivity and things like that, where again, you know, the hope was to have like, again, a little bit more of a middle ground. Like, you know, there should be, you know, female coaches doing more of that too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yes. Yeah. That's like exactly it. Right. Where it's like, can we get information without it being about a bunch of other different things too. And I think actually, I mean, there are a couple of coaches like all throughout, like Nancy Newell, I think is great at just like, here's a video of me coaching this thing.
Interviewed her like 2 weeks ago. She was awesome.
Yeah. And so it's like, so I think she like does a great job and there are definitely a few others. But it just seems like a lot of it is very, it's like put on or it's like, oh man, like we have to be like completely like made up or in like great outfits with like perfect hair. And that's something, you know, I think that we haven't done to ourselves. It's like women do get put in that position where it's like, if you are a fitness woman, you definitely have to look the part to be like considered credible, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Right. That's like kind of like how society is. But it's
I think there's some of that on the male side too. And I like, even like reading your post, like I was like, I don't know. Like it's always interesting to look on, again, use Instagram as the example, because that's where people are posting pictures these days. Mm-hmm. But you know, when I'm bored, like waiting for a flight or something like that, I'll look at like, I usually don't look in the search thing or like the recommended people that it'll just, they'll send you like a bunch of people that, you know, you might give a crap about. And usually I don't, but like I'm seeing lots of dudes with their shirts off, like, you know, sweating and all that stuff and showing off, you know, bodybuilder type physiques, or even like, you know, the more CrossFit and athletic type physique. So I think that's, it's definitely, obviously, you know, if we're weighing the stuff on a scale, that is happening much more with, you know, female side of things and male side of things. But I think, you know, even speaking personally, I think there is some pressure for guys too, to, you know, quote unquote, look the part to a certain extent, because otherwise it'd be like, well, man, I don't want to look like him or I don't want to look like her. I want to look like this other person. So I'm going to go, you know, have them coach me instead.
No, totally. No, you're totally right. And I think a lot, like, I think my vision too of like unfairly, like what I consider like the fitness industry is like a very small box of people who are putting out information, right? Where I'm like, these people. So like, that's totally my unfair, like, I'm using these people as a reference, but you're totally right, though.
But these are also the people that like we look up to. These are the people that are usually who are also going to, you know, our audiences are also going to be, you know, seeing and reading and watching as well. So I think it's always good to take the temperature and see what other people are posting out there, what their messages are like in terms of tones, in terms of content, because those are usually the things that, you know, your members, your clients might ask you about, because they might see their stuff too.
Right. Nope. Totally. Totally.
So did we find a solution to this?
I don't know if we found a solution. I don't know. But I know like Lori and I are like definitely working on at least providing something for the middle ground, right? Which is like, again, it's like, that's who we are. It's like very true to us. And if other people like relate, awesome. Like, heck yes. Like we'll all get on board together. But we are working on it.
Well, this also brings up another thing that I've been talking about a lot, I guess, over the last year, and I've been kind of getting more and more pissed off about it too, is like seeing, you know, go look at some of the workshops and the, I shouldn't say the workshops, like the big seminars with large panels and lots of speakers out there. Like there was one like a month or two ago that had 19 white dudes on it. Like it was. And I was like, come on, can we not find, you know, a person of color? Can we not find some women to put on this panel too? Especially when you look at the group photo at the, and again, like all those speakers are all fantastic. They're all great speakers and they have awesome, you know, information to share with folks. And, you know, that's the pushback that I got. It's like, you know, there was, of course it was like, you know, guys that were saying this, but well, you know, should they be lowering the standards of their speakers just to put women on the panel? I'm like, okay, clearly you have not looked around the industry. You have to open your friggin' eyes and look around because they're, you know, again, if you kind of, I would just say, not to like talk about the show, but if you need to go listen to some of the women that I've had on the show there, you can find some great speakers to have at your event. But the thing is that this, again, this is what came up at dinner, is the idea that, I think this is where I kind of was coming from that last topic that we talked about, where, you know, male speakers are much more likely to just talk about technical stuff. They're more likely to just talk about programming or rehab or, you know, business or something like that. Where, again, this was coming from a guy who was saying this, but feeling that, you know, female speakers are more likely to just talk about female empowerment, you know, just talk about like glute training or something like that. And I was like, all right, well, you can think that, but that's not true. Like you can have Chris Scott Dixon come to your event and be the most knowledgeable person on nutrition and, you know, the mindset of and the psychological side of nutrition of anyone in the industry. Right. You could have someone, you could have someone like a Molly Galbraith talk about programming. You could have all these great people come to your event and talk about subjects that guys could talk about too, but that, you know, they don't have to talk about, you know, cutting out, you know, magazine covers and stuff like that.
That
doesn't have to be the subject. It could actually be about the program because we're really not that different.
Right. No, totally. You're totally right. I went to, it was a couple of years ago, the Kansas City Fitness Summit. And they did a pretty good job of like having male and female speakers, but Dr. Susan Kleiner, spoke. She was incredible. And she spoke about nutrition. And I mean, just like walked away with so much information that day that was like definitely not about feelings or, you know, I mean, she just like came and like represented her information. It was like, she was fantastic.
Like you need someone to talk about kettlebells? Like, God, I feel like there's more great female coaches coaching kettlebell stuff like swings and get ups and progressions, and all that, than there are guys.
Yeah, for sure. No, you're totally right. Actually, Dean Somerset posted on Facebook recently where he does like his like Q&As, like I have an hour, ask me a question.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, it was something along the lines of the difference between men and women in the fitness industry. And I can't remember what it was, but his response was basically, that, like women are like more men will put themselves out there. They just don't care. Right. It's just like, this is what I think. I don't care. And that like women are slightly more reserved and they won't just like put things out there. But he was like, please like encouraging people to do so. But I was like, that is so true. I think, you know, a lot of women, I guess I can only speak for myself. You know, we do like wait for permission sometimes where we have all this knowledge or we have things that we use on a daily basis. And then we like wait to offer that up until somebody asks instead of just like, nope, I have this, or even reaching out to be like, I would like to speak or I can do this thing. It's like, we almost wait. And again, that's like maybe me. And that's on me. But I think there is something to that where women do kind of wait for permission sometimes. And maybe we just need to stop.
I totally. And I feel like, you know, God, do you want to talk about pull-ups? God, get Megan Calloway there. Like she's the best person to talk about with pull-ups now. Like
for sure.
There isn't an equivalent. So I don't know. Again, it's just frustrating, and it's frustrating when I see like friends putting on events and they're doing the same thing. I'm like, you guys, it's seven male presenters. Like, and I know you guys know great women in this industry. There's right. like, they're not hiding. They're really not. So we need to continue to do a better job. And it's not like, I know there's going to be folks that listen to this, be like, dude, this is just Kevin being a, like, I don't know, like a left wing weirdo or something sure. like that. And it's really not. I just feel like you're totally missing out. If you're not getting exposed to these great female speakers, like, you're missing out. Like, you're not getting as good of an education, and you're not getting, you know, the best information out there if you're not talking to women, especially like if you do train women. Like, it is really good to hear from women that yeah. train women.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually think, I know you referenced Jeff and Harold, because they're putting on their MM Lab happening, is like coming up in February. Mm-hmm. They've been like doing a great job of like, they reached out to like all the women on the team, and they're like, who do you want awesome. As a woman? Like, who do you want to see? Who do you want to hear from? So they've been like really kind of like very at least aware and like definitely like getting in that game of like, let's bring some women on board and like get them up on stage.
Progress, making mm-hmm. progress. Well, again, that the last thing I'll say on that is, you know, continue to look for great, you know, female speakers out there. And if you're thinking about putting on an event, you know, all I would say is like, and again, like, this is what I said when I made that post, is like, don't feel like I'm attacking you. Just try to do better next time. That's all you got to do, is try to do better for the next event. Like, maybe, you know, realize, take a look at that group picture and realize who is actually showing up to your event. It's not 100% dudes. It's usually 40 to 50% female. So give them some, not even give them some representation, but, you know, understand that too. Man, well, obviously you can tell, like, I had to get that off my chest a little bit, because I'm like, that allowed me to vent a little bit from all the stuff that's going on this morning. But let me also talk to you about programming, because when I, you know, talking about Jeff and Harold, I think I was talking with Jeff on the phone months ago when I was like getting, like, literally, I didn't even have a space yet. I didn't even have a name for the gym yet. And I started yeah. just like talking to people, like, yeah, I'm thinking about opening up a gym. I need to kind of just like talk with, you know, some folks in the industry, some friends, and just say like, does this sound like a good idea? Also, I want to talk about like structure for programming for groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, immediately when I brought this up, it's like, oh, well, you know, if you want to know anything about programming, you got to talk to Wheeler about it. So,
wow, that's awesome.
That's exactly what, and that's again, like, it's like, oh yeah, like I got to get her on the show. Oh my God, I keep forgetting. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about like kind of just the progression of the program at MFF over the years, because you guys do something really special, because you have a couple different solutions for folks that want to sign up. You have awesome group classes, mm-hmm. and you also have like a semi-private training model. So yep. could you talk a little bit about how you structure those two things and kind of how you make sure they're, you know, not only, you know, balanced, but, you know, you're, no matter what, you're providing a great training session for everyone involved.
Yeah, for sure. So our group classes, we go in a 4-week phase. So we go 4-week cycle, and we have four different classes within that 4-week cycle. And then that changes every month. So they're designed basically at the beginning of the year. And then we slowly start to progress over the year, changing up just little things. Mm-hmm. But we do kind of have like a periodization over the year, kind of, right? We really try to stick to it, but we do have like some, we do get kind of crazy, right? And our ninjas like, we like to get creative and we like to have fun. So 4-week cycles for our large group classes. In semi-private training, we do up to like 8 sessions a month mm-hmm. that were programmed out. So it's like if they're in 2 times a week, then they get programmed for 8 sessions. But and that's like, we have a bunch of different people like writing those. Mm-hmm. But each person, like, we have a ton. It's like, it's kind of interesting because like each person has a coach that writes their programs like over the year. So they're kind of like progressed out with that specific coach. But that's been like super interesting to see people. And we have these crazy iPads with like glitter and yeah, Harold right. Gibbons like doing videos on the iPad. So like, that's been kind of cool.
So what have been some of the challenges that you guys have faced and kind of the solutions that you found to, you know, whether it be, you know, dealing with larger group sizes or just anything that you know, came up over the last year or two that you saw, oh yeah, this isn't kind of working out. We need to change something here.
So with the large group class, the most challenging part, I think, is we have so many different levels of abilities in the class. We have people that are literally like just walking in the door for the first time, which is like a lot of our demographic, like people that don't maybe haven't done fitness in the past, or they didn't play a sport and they're walking in like fresh, which is kind of awesome. And then ninjas that have been around for like 5 years.
The so veterans. It's
like, yeah, absolutely. So it's like, how do we create specifically the classes where the veterans feel like they can get after it, but that like our newer ninjas can walk in and also feel like they can keep up or like hang in the class. So that's been like super challenging. But we, traditionally in classes, as we go through, we'll offer like two options. So there's always like lateralizations and regressions that we offer to each, like at the beginning of each class. So like if we're doing a kettlebell swing, if somebody's new, like we'll have them deadlift or even just like practice a hinge and we'll throw that out. And I think something that, that like we've really kind of crushed from the beginning is making sure ninjas honor their bodies and their choices. And we preach very much like from the second they walk in the door, that everybody's going to be at a different pace. Everyone's going to be at a different level and they need to do what is right for them in their body at the moment. And it's just like, you're not hanging with the person on the mat next to you, right? You're running your own race. Like you're doing your thing and they're doing theirs and we're all in it together. We can support one another. But you're doing your thing. So that has made it like worlds easier. Cause I think people don't try to keep up or do the things they're not ready for yet. So that's been kind of cool, but it is challenging to get like the different levels in.
Well, let me ask you this because you brought up something. I want to go a little bit deeper on it. The thing that you guys seem to do so well, especially in those like large group classes, like how many folks do you have in there? Is it like 12 or 15?
Up to 15.
Okay. So 15, and it's usually one coach or is two coaches in there?
One coach.
Awesome. Okay. So the thing that you brought up, and I think I really want to highlight is like, you didn't call it this, but I know you guys call it this. You have systems in place, so you know exactly what the next step will be. Like if you have someone new, you know they're going to be kettlebell deadlifting on day one. They're not going to do a kettlebell swing, and you're going to have people that are at different levels of progressions, you know, throughout that paradigm. So you are never having, and this is what's so important for folks out there. If you don't have a system in place for programming and for especially these large group classes where you can't like be like, all right, well, I'm going to stop and spend 5 minutes to coach you on how to do a kettlebell swing or like trying to figure out, oh, well, this isn't working. What exercise am I going to do next? Like you need to have solutions for these problems that could come up. You should know exactly where you're going to go next. So aside from like kettlebell swing to deadlift or, you know, vice versa, like what other kind of like regressions or like correctives and solutions are you most commonly using?
Sure. So like, anything like pushups, clearly, like we have, you know, people that come in that can't do pushups, obviously like, knees are always an option. And sometimes it's just like holding a plank where we're getting them in stable positions, just like working that plank. So then they can eventually, sometimes it's, negatives, like pushup negatives. Our rows are like bent over rows. So like we do bands sometimes for those. Sometimes we do no bands at all. And they're just like grooving the pattern of the movement, and making sure they can keep their hinge in that. Right. Cause then we find a lot of people, like when they first come in, the hinge in a bent over row is just like, if it's not there, like it's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not going to feel good rowing there. So sometimes it's like, nope, we're grooving the pattern of a row without weight and making sure that you can stay in a solid position. Go ahead.
No, I was say like the first thing, well, not the first thing, but like I went to Home Depot last week and like I had to buy sand for my sandbags.
Yeah.
But also I got a bunch of PVC pipe for dowels for just teaching the hip hinge because that's, I mean, like maybe in planks too, but the hip hinge, getting someone to do a proper hip hinge and to be able to feel what that position feels like correctly is really the first thing that you should do with a new client or a new member is get that locked in and get that down because it, like you said, it transitions into deadlift. It transitions into, bent over dumbbell rows. It transitions into so many different single leg deadlift. Like it transitions into so many other movements that you're going to need to make sure that you have that just, it seems so simple and little, but have that pattern down and have that. Maybe the best way to put it is to have that feeling down, right? Like just to feel like what it's like to load up, like put your weight on your heels and load up those hamstrings. That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, we, when we have people, when ninjas come and like for the first session, we call it a baptism. and we go through where it's like they're learning movements before they are allowed to jump into class. But like Hinge is definitely where we spend the most time. But yeah, we'll use.
So what does that look like when you have someone that's like our folks aren't able to come in like mid session, right? Like in week two, or do you allow people to come in like, you know, in the middle of the month?
No, they absolutely can come in the middle of the month, but they have to take a ninja baptism first. And then we highly encourage them to take our class called Ninja Essentials before Ninja Essentials
The baptism, because like, is that something where like, well, you have like, we have three new people. They're all going to be in this class today. Or is it like 101? Like, what does it look like?
It's a class usually like up to 8 people. Mm-hmm. And it's literally people like walking in the door fresh. And we go through, it starts with like, basically like an introduction to our culture and language. Like we use some like pretty colorful language. Okay. And so we're like, it's like an intro into like, we're going to say these things. We teach them, posterior pelvic tilt and anterior pelvic tilt. We call it porn star and sad dog.
I might find different names than that for my gym.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, that is like, oh my gosh. Like
it's your culture. I like it.
But it's like getting people into proper pelvic bowl positions, like porn star and sad dog have been hugely helpful because people can visualize that and like understand like, oh, sad dog, I'm tucking my butt under, or like porn star, I'm sticking my butt out. So we like teach them positions to get into neutral before we even start to coach anything. Mm-hmm. So we teach them positions first, and then we traditionally start in plank, and just to get people in like feeling what a plank feels like with a little bit of sad dog, like neutral pelvic bowl. Mm. And then going on from there, we talk about how basically then everything else is a plank that moves. So if they can find plank, if they can find where their core is, if they can find where their pelvic bowl is, now like when we pop up for a hinge, now from my tailbone to the top of my head, I'm going to try to keep that plank position and I'm just pushing my butt back. Right. So it's like, go ahead.
Yes. So no, this is making me think. So I love this idea and I never even considered this before, but that's like, even if you do, like I'm going to kind of do like medium group training, like groups of up to 8 people, but I love this idea of maybe you only do it like once a month where you do like a free class. Maybe it's on like a Sunday morning or something like that. You say, you know, everyone that wants to come down and like master the basics, that's all we're going to do. We're not going to, you know, lift heavy. All we're going to do is we're going to do some planks. We're going to do some hinges. We're going to be, you know, working on some mobility stuff just to, you know, carry that over to the next time that you're in the gym, like having this gym open by myself with no other coaches. Like, I think that might be the right solution, but I love that idea because it's, you know, it's something that I always saw boils too, especially with like the younger coaches. They're running around with their, you know, like chickens with their heads cut off because they're having problems teaching someone how to do a single arm dumbbell row and getting them to, you know, get the proper torso position for that stuff and to arch their back and all that. So this is a super good idea. I think if you own a gym or if you coach a lot of people, I think this is something you should consider. That's such an awesome idea that you guys have.
Yeah. And it's, we have it set up too, where it's like, if you are a ninja and even if you've been around for a while, if you want a refresher, you want to get back to like practicing some movements and kind of fine tune, you're allowed to go back and jump into a baptism like for free anytime. It's just like, go take a baptism, kind of start to fine tune some of that stuff if you need to, and then jump back into class.
I got to think of a good name for that. I like allied strength core principles or something like that. Yeah. That's such a gross, plain vanilla name.
I mean, it's been hugely helpful to get people in. And it, honestly, like for our population, it makes people comfortable, right? Where they're in a smaller setting where they can ask questions and like get really like attended to before they go jump into class where they're with, you know, 14 other people that they don't know yet.
Yeah. No one wants to feel like, oh man, like God, Kevin's always having to coach Amanda all class. Right. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing and she's not getting it.
Right.
Fascinating, man. That was cool. That's an idea I'm going to carry over. Okay, man, we're already coming up on 40 minutes. All right. So let me ask you this real quick before we go in any other directions. You know, again, you've been doing great work with Formation Strength, but like what has been on your mind? Have there been things on your mind that you want to chat about that you kind of like, oh man, I've been really thinking about this, or whether it's implementing it at MFF or just stuff that you're kind of doing on your own personal or professional side of things like, yeah, we should be looking at this as an industry or as like a profession to make sure that we, I don't know, have some eyes on it?
Gosh, that's a great question. For whatever reason, like literally when you said that, like mental health popped into my head.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I mean, we could go in so many different directions with that, but, you know, in general, and I think at Mark Fisher Fitness specifically, and actually we just started doing, precision nutrition.
Awesome.
And we have like literally 100 ninjas going through PN right now.
Wow.
And it's been super interesting, but I think, it's weird, like mental health and like emotional intelligence, I think are two big things that we don't talk about a ton in the industry, but, those things specifically, I think, you know, make all the difference in the world in any facility. Kind of want to say addressing those issues, but it's just been super interesting, at least at MFF, to like be like, oh, emotional health, mental health are so important to, and then really accompany like, you know, your physical health.
It's you nailed it. Like it's amazing. This is why, God, over the last probably 2 years, Georgia Dow, I've had on like maybe 8 times, like a psychotherapist up in Canada, just because like we don't have really a ton of people talking about this in the industry. And if we do have folks, like, please point them, you know, my way so I can get them on the show and talk to them about this stuff, because that's probably the best thing that I got out of the PN level one stuff is not, it's like, I already know, like, you know, a serving of protein is the size of your palm. Like I knew all that stuff. I just from talking with JB and those folks and following their stuff and like literally owning the very first precision nutrition binder 10 years ago. But the thing that I really took away from that is the psychological thing, the psychological aspects of what we need to be doing as coaches and as trainers. And it's what like motivated me to like one night a week have just like a free coaching, like it's not even like a coaching group. It's not a support group. It's just for folks that are part of my gym. If you want to come after the last class on like Wednesday or Thursday night and just hang out, talk about your goals, talk about like the problems that you ran into during the week. Because also I know some folks like coaches want to bring this stuff up while they're training, but sometimes people don't want to think about this stuff while they're training. Sure. They don't want to talk to you while like why you have 15 seconds before you need to go coach someone else.
Right.
This is something that is a little bit longer than just a quick drive by like, oh yeah, you know, Amanda, how's your disordered eating going?
Right.
Like, no, like that's not a 5 second or a 15 second, you know, answer. It needs to be a more in-depth conversation. So I think if you have the ability to do so, like I'll be curious to see how many people show up to something like this and how popular and how much they get out of it. Because I think like, it's what makes things like Weight Watchers so successful. It's the meetings, right? It's the support groups that are built up around that. It's usually not like the meals that they're selling you and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, are you going to implement that when you open your space?
Not the second I open it up, but once I have about, you know, probably 20 or 30 members and I don't even like, it sounds dirty to call it like a perk, but it's something that I want to do because I know how valuable it is. Like, I think, is it today or tomorrow? I think tomorrow I've like every week or every other week, I have a coaching call with Chris Scott Dixon.
Yeah.
And it's just to talk about stuff. And it's to talk about like, we're not talking about like, oh, Chris, so this is what I ate today. And this is like, did the macros sound good to you?
Right.
It's usually not about that. It's usually about like, yeah, you know, I was really stressed out and I was like super pissed because there's something bad going on. So I had pizza tonight because that made me feel better. Like it's usually stuff like that. And it's been hugely beneficial to just have someone to bounce the stuff off of that I trust. It's an environment that is safe. And I think especially like when you get in a group of, you know, 10, 12, 15 people, and you can kind of partner up and share each other's goals. You can share, you know, the obstacles that you ran into during the week and like help each other find solutions. I think that makes a really big difference when it comes to building community as well.
For sure. Absolutely. No, it totally does. It's been interesting too, to see like PN, even to go in and look on the back end, like they've done a great job of just setting it up so people really do kind of start to dig deep. And I think something as coaches that we, you know, some, we don't, I don't want to say think about, because like obviously like at Mark Fisher Fitness we totally do, mm-hmm. but where it's like it's not just about giving a meal plan. It's not just about saying like, okay, do right. these exercises and then follow this and you're good. Where it's like humans are complicated, right? It's like we get stressed, we you know have things that we deal with, and it's like just that emotional intelligence, or like working in that capacity is I just think a very untapped part of our industry, where it's like you got to understand people and be able to like kind of ask open-ended questions. Like coaching is kind of digging deep with somebody. It's not necessarily just giving them things to do. So I think that is a big thing that is kind of untapped.
Right. And it's like, it's exactly why it's like so frustrating when I see coaches in the industry, like, and it's usually coaches that, have an athletic background. They've like always been at a low body fat percentage, and they're just always mystified why fat loss is hard for their clients and their members and stuff like that. Like, no, it's easy. All you got to do is eat lean proteins, healthy right. fats and vegetables. That like, why aren't you doing that? You're an idiot. And it's like, right. no, it's because you don't understand like the irrational thoughts that someone that, you know, could have disordered eating or, you know, could right. just have, you know, I don't even want to call it maybe like a negative yep. Relationship with food.
Right.
So we need to understand that, we need to respect that, and we need to provide better solutions than here's a sheet that I'm going to give you. It has a bunch of protein sources. It has a bunch of, you know, healthy fat sources and a bunch of good fruit and vegetable sources. All you got to do is eat from this list, and you know what? You're going to be ripped. It's not right. that easy. If it was, like, we probably wouldn't, you know, the great coaches wouldn't be the great coaches. They wouldn't, you know, be needed as much. We could all do this and we wouldn't have to continue to talk about it forever.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. No, I think, yeah. So that is like definitely that's a tricky, I think, you know, with that kind of stuff too, is like mental health too, is like, that's such a huge factor in like people's food choices, their sleep patterns, like what's yeah. happening in their life. Like that really plays a huge role. And I think somebody right now that's like killing is Lisa Lewis for mental health. Mm-hmm. Like she had a great post on Girls Gone Strong about mental health recently. And she's also been working with Strength Faction
yeah.
As our like kind of go-to, like how we like, you know, dealing with clients in like meaningful ways and like having difficult conversations while also as a coach, like protecting yourself emotionally, because, you know, you become very invested in, you know, other people's emotions and their lives and their journeys. And then mm-hmm. you can also like take that on a little bit emotionally yourself. So it's like having a balance of like where you're coaching people and also like honoring yourself as well. But she's been fantastic.
I mean, that's someone I talked with Tony about her. This is if you guys don't remember, this is Tony's wife. And I think this is something that is so important. And it's why, again, like I had her like on 3 times in like a month. Or something like that, because I like it just constantly, like I felt like we could continue talking more and more about this, because she's, you know, she's the person that we should be having at these events. She should be presenting at every seminar possible. Make Tony watch Julian.
Yeah.
send her on the road. We need her out as much as we can get her out there. All right, well, let's kind of pause for there. We're almost coming up on an hour, but with that being said, you know, where can people find out more what you got going on? Anything that they should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, for sure. Formationstrength.com. Lori and I, we are opening up to the world. Our training team that starts in January of 2018, people will be able to register for that. And it's
awesome.
For women, that's like legit strength conditioning program over 12 weeks that we are pumped about. We just had a beta group go through the 12 weeks. We had 28 women from 6 different countries.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. So we have that coming up. Obviously you can find me at Mark Fisher Fitness in New York City. If you want to come get crazy there, that's what's going on.
But they would have to go see Roger Lawson too, because you're at Bowery, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're both at Bowery together. Yeah. They can come get weird with us.
Awesome. Love it. Well, I think that's where we'll pause it for today, but, thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on the show. And I apologize / thank you for letting me get a little bit of, you know, energy out today. I'm having some weird stuff going on with the gym. So it was nice to be able to like get, you know, raise my voice a little bit and, you know, expel some of this like frustration that I have. So that was appreciated. And God, yeah, it's great to get you on the show, and I'm looking forward to our next chat. Thank you so much again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the FitCast. You can go to fitcast.network to get all the previous episodes, including all those great guests that we just talked about. You could go back and listen to their interviews. I'm sure it's going to be relevant. And then you can also support the show at patreon.com/thefitcast, where you can get the shows ad-free and 2 weeks early. Plus, please support the sponsors of the show. It helps keep the show going. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. Take care.